Today on Real Life Radio.
The thou shalt not, if you follow it all the way through, it kind of goes like this. Thou shalt not do this, so thou shalt not get shot in the head. Right? Thou shalt not do this, so thou shalt not wind up in jail, go to prison all your life. Think it all. Oh man, God's quenching me. He's trying to keep you out of hell and death and the prison and everything.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You ever find yourself longing for a deeper spiritual walk? Well, for many believers, the Holy Spirit's just a mysterious idea we hear about on Sundays but rarely live out on Mondays. What if His presence could transform your daily life, fueling you with hope and power and unstoppable joy? What if His guidance could help you navigate through decisions, strengthen relationships, and bring genuine peace to your soul? Well, this month, Pastor Jack Hibbs is featuring Living Water by Chuck Smith. It's a down-to-earth look at the Holy Spirit who can revolutionize the way you connect with God. Inside, you'll uncover practical biblical insights to help you walk in step with the Spirit right where you are. No hype, no cliches, just real answers for everyday challenges.
This book changed my life. Authored by my pastor, Chuck Smith, the book Living Water, incredible.
Living Water is available for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues with his series called The Parables of Jesus and a message titled Parable of the Ten Virgins, Part 1. Whenever Jesus spoke to crowds, He often spoke on relatable stories, using common everyday themes that the Bible calls parables. And in this parable, Jesus is giving us a glimpse into the future. You see, we must not miss what the Bible predicted when it comes to the next prophetic event. But like the ten virgins, there will be those who are prepared and those who will miss their chance of eternal life in heaven. So we need to know what we believe when it comes to Jesus. So today, Pastor Jack teaches us that like the five virgins who brought extra oil for their lamps, we should also be prepared and looking forward to Christ's glorious bodily return for His church. Now with his message called Parable of the Ten Virgins, Part 1, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Luke 12:42, and the Lord said, who then is a faithful and wise steward? Who knows how to govern their life? Whom his master will make ruler over his household? He's talking about when he returns. To give them their portion of food in due season. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find him so doing when he comes. He's talking about himself when he returns. Truly, I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. But if that servant says in his heart, notice it doesn't come out of his mouth, it's in his heart, it's his doctrine, it's his way of thinking. My master delays his coming. I don't think he's coming back soon. Notice the result of that kind of thinking. He begins to beat the male and female servants and to eat and drink and be drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he is not looking for him and in an hour when he's not aware and will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the unbelievers. What's important about this statement Jesus makes, now listen carefully, are you listening? Jesus, this word in Luke 12, Jesus is not saying that this person was a believer and goes to hell or gets lost because something happened. What's here is that there's a person who says they believe. They're in the gathering of the true believers. They look like a believer. They might talk like a believer, but they're not holding, listen, they're not holding truly in action the doctrines of the believer, the teachings. You see, he says in his heart, I don't think my Lord's coming back. You notice that? He looks just like us, but he's not excited about the Lord's return. He could care less. And how would you know? Well, I don't know unless you follow him around town. And if you follow him around town, look, he begins to be very sloppy about his witness regarding Jesus. He's living like the world. He's violent. Look, Jesus said that person's very slack. They beat people. They're mean. They're drunk. They're living for themselves. Now, you might sit here tonight and say, well, I don't beat people and I don't get drunk. Well, fill in the blank. It could be that you're so impressed with yourself that there's no room for God in your life. It could be that you're trusting in your money. No place for God, okay? Very, very important. Jesus is not saying someone's going to lose their salvation. This person never had it. I've been convinced personally, you guys, in Scripture that, and I know this may raise some eyebrows, but I got to tell you, it's my personal experience, and the more and more I see people, I'm convinced from Scripture, not from my emotions, that one of the great hallmarks of who is a real Christian is that they believe and they understand what the Bible says regarding Jesus' return. They're excited about it. I can't imagine any person saying, man, I don't want Jesus to come back now. Now, look, I understand. If you're engaged and your wedding's next weekend, I understand. That guy's praying, God, give me one more week. Will you just wait for one more week? I always tell the groom right before we walk down the aisle, man, let's pray, brother. Okay, Lord, bless us. And, oh, Jesus, come back even now. And you can see the groom, the husband-to-be never says amen. You can feel him. You can feel him like, and I'd like to add to that prayer, Lord, just give me one night. Please. But the believer wants Jesus to return. How can you say you're a believer and you're drawing up excuses and hoping he doesn't come back? Now, I know this big spiritual response is going to be, I want my friends to get saved. I understand that. God wants your friends to get saved more than you do. Let the timing be in God's hand. You be faithful. You pray for your friends. You share Jesus with them. But come on, let's get out of here. I mean, let's blow this place, right? He knows what he's doing. So get excited about his coming. It's an exciting thing to think about. 1 John. Now, I'm going to give you a bunch of verses. You ready to write these down? 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. 1 John 3:1 says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. You ought to circle the word us. This is serious. By the way, John is speaking to believers, only believers. So how beautiful is this? John's saying, wow, has God loved us big time or what? That we, you ought to circle the word we, should be called children, you ought to circle that word, of God. Woo! Therefore, the world does not know us. Isn't that true? They think we're from Mars. Because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be like. Pause right there at that comma. Will I have red hair in heaven? Will I be taller? You know, what will I look like? The Bible says we don't know what we're going to look like exactly. But it's heaven, hello. We're going to look cuter than what we do now. Thank God. It's going to be an upgrade. I don't think anybody's going to walk around heaven and how do you... That guy's as ugly as sin. Oh, wait, we're in heaven. There's no... right? Not going to happen. We're all going to be beautiful. It's going to be amazing. Miracle. But it doesn't tell us how we're going to look. It does not yet been revealed what we will be like. But we know this, that when he is revealed, there's a hint. The moment he reveals himself. Now look, listen everybody, Bible students, this dovetails with all other scriptures of the prophetic revelation. We know this, that when he's revealed, we will be like him. Right? Look at it. For we shall see him. We'll see him as he, listen, when he comes, in that instant, we're going to be changed. We'll talk about this in a moment. You say, well, Jack, he hasn't come for 2,000 years. It could be another 2,000 years. It's not going to be another 2,000 years. There's no way. Well, how do you know? One very important clue. The nation of Israel was born a second time as a nation on May 14th, 1948. And Jesus, the scriptures throughout scripture announces that in the last days before he returns, Israel will be brought back from all the nations of the world into their ancient land, their ancient dwelling place. Think of that. Israel's been there now, how many years? 60-something years now, right? Think of that. There's a lot of other things that we could talk about. We're going to be speaking more in depth on these things come the month of September. I encourage you to be here to learn from all that, but we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Verse 3, and everyone who has this what? Hope in him, that's, notice, capital H, the Lord, purifies himself. What does that mean? Stay away from stuff that's going to hurt your walk with God. If Bubbles comes up and says, hey, what are you doing, handsome? Run! If you can't handle your computer, throw it in the pool. I'm serious. I'm dead serious. It costs $1,200. I would rather pay $1,200 and throw the computer in the pool than mess up your life. And let me tell you, if you're married and you're messing around on your computer, looking at things you ought not to be looking at, if you're married or not, you shouldn't be looking at that stuff. Let me tell you, throwing the computer away is a lot cheaper than a divorce attorney. Get it out. Because you know what? That awesome verse says, because the Lord's coming back, you don't know when, but we're so excited about being like him that we know that he could come back at any time, and we're waiting, and so that keeps us from getting into trouble. Imagine, just imagine. Now look, I am sure this could get on the internet and people edit it out and change it around and make me say things that I'm not saying. Did you hear what he said? What I'm saying is, let's pretend, what if you knew Jesus was coming back at 3 o'clock tomorrow? I did not say Jesus is coming back at 3 o'clock tomorrow. I say, let's just pretend. What would you do right now? I know what I would do right now. I'd shut this service down, because most of you are already saved. And I would do what I should be doing anyway. And that is going all up and down my street, knocking on every neighbor's door, just like you would if there's a fire. There's a fire! Get out of your house! I should do that anyway, right? Jesus is coming back 3 o'clock tomorrow. Okay, come on. Believe in him, right? But shouldn't we have that understanding? Look, the Bible teaches he could come in a moment you're not even aware of.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
And one of the great indicators of the last day's events, one of them is Israel's back in the land, not to mention global economic collapse and the dissolving of borders. That's internationally. You know that's going on? And the Bible warned about that? Amazing. The Bible also says in the last days before Christ returns, people will trust in gold and silver. You know, no, you just got that from a commercial on TV. No, that's in the Bible. Isn't that amazing? We're so used to it now. It's like, oh, yeah, right. Okay, I got that. Yeah, Bible prophecy being fulfilled. It's true, man. It's amazing. It's awesome. Proverbs 29:18 says, where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. Listen, Jesus is coming back. Get ready. It acts as a purifying agent to the believer's life. I mean, look, I don't want to offend anybody. I'm not picking on anybody. I don't know anybody regarding this. But if somebody said to me, I'm a Christian, and I don't think Jesus is coming back, you know what? I don't want to hang out with you. I mean, you and I are going to be in heaven together, and all that's fine. But you know what? If you're not excited, you could get in trouble. You know? You could get in trouble if you think he's not coming back. Who says? Jesus said it a moment ago in Luke's gospel. You start to slack off. Be ready. Now, I know some of you are thinking, man, this is a quench. You're quenching me. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. But have you read the Bible? Thou gets to do. Thou gets to do. Thou gets to do a lot of stuff. And by the way, the stuff that's thou shalt not, have you noticed all the stuff that thou shalt not? The thou shalt not, if you follow it all the way through, it kind of goes like this. Thou shalt not do this, so thou shalt not get shot in the head. Right? Thou shalt not do this, so thou shalt not wind up in jail or go to prison all your life. Think it all. Oh, man, God's quenching me. He's trying to keep you out of hell and death and the prison and everything. Think of that. It's awesome. Another verse. Are you writing these down? I worked hard to get these verses. You need to write these down. Titus 2:13, looking for the blessed hope. This is awesome. Be vigilant, scanning the horizon for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, who? Jesus Christ, says the Bible. The Bible says, look for him. Be looking for him. Watch for him. It's awesome. It's glorious. Now, church, This parable that we're going to eventually get to is about the coming of the Lord. And it's probably good. I'm going to need all of you to look at me because I'm not smart enough to communicate it to you. I got to show you. Jesus' first coming. Okay, you're going to have a crash course in eschatology right now. Jesus' first coming, according to biblical studies, is, we would normally say, in the manger in Bethlehem. Okay, you're close. Officially, his first coming was on Palm Sunday week when he was presented as king on April 6th, 32 AD. It was a Sunday morning in Israel. That is where he visited his temple. Do you remember that week he turned the money changers over and he yelled and shouted, "My house, my father's house shall be called a house of prayer, but you've made it a den of thieves." Remember that week Jesus announced, "I am the light of the world." Jesus then announces, "I am the bread of life." Remember when the priest would pour the water out of the urn down the steps of the temple? Jesus stands right there when that's going on and Jesus shouts to the people and says, "I am the living water." All of these things going on that week. It was his first coming. If you were in a seminary course and the professor asked you, what or define, describe the first coming of Christ, you would say Passion Week, Palm Sunday. This was his first. It's when he presented himself to the nation, and it's the only time in Jesus's ministry career where he allowed worship to take place publicly. Every time before that, he kept it quiet. Remember that? That's his first coming. His second coming, listen, his second coming hasn't happened yet. His second coming is to the same location, coming back, same direction. He's not riding, read the fine print. First time he was on a donkey, remember? The second time, Revelation 19, he's on a white horse, okay? And the first coming was as Savior, Messiah, and the second coming is as Judge, as King. Okay? And it's awesome. His second coming is when Christ returns again to not only Israel, but to terra firma, literally, the earth, ground. Are you with me? He will go through the eastern gate or the golden gate, the one right now that is on CNN that's sealed up, it's all bricked up. The Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, when Christ returns from the atmosphere, from the heavens, he's gonna blow that gate wide open. That's gonna be a neat day. That's gonna be awesome. He's going to go through that. He's going to establish his kingdom, the Bible says, for 1,000 years. The political reign of Jesus Christ. It has to happen. He has to sit on the throne of David. He's never done that. And throughout scripture, eschatology, Bible prophecy, declares that the Messiah, Savior of Israel, of the world, must sit upon the throne of David. Tonight, Jesus is sitting on the throne of his Father in heaven. He's got to sit on an earthly rule throne in Jerusalem, the throne of David. Yes. That is awesome. The cool thing is, do you remember when David said, "The Lord said unto my Lord"? You know what's awesome? I'm going way off notes here. We're in trouble. Read the book of Ezekiel. It'll freak you out. It's awesome. And if you've read it, you remember, who's this prince? Who's this prince? Who's, when Jesus is on the throne for 1,000 years, there's some prince also that's with him. Listen, key. David said, "I saw the Lord, and the Lord said to my Lord, sit thou at the right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." Yes. David in the millennium is the prince of the king. Jesus sits on the throne of David, his genealogical bloodline, fulfilling Bible prophecy. Jesus is the king, David is the prince. The Lord said unto my Lord. It answers commentary on the Bible perfectly. It's so exciting to see that. It's gonna happen, you're gonna see it. You will, if you're a believer. If you're not a believer, you're not gonna see this. We're talking about the rapture. We wanna focus on what could happen even now. So, 1 Thessalonians 4. We're going to run through this together. I want you to listen to this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep or died, believers who have died, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For, watch, get your pen ready, for if we, circle the word we, these are the famous five we statements of Paul. You might want to write that down. Paul's famous we statements. And I'm going to tell you why they're famous. Verse 14 is one of them. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who, allow me to say it this way, died in Jesus, okay? Verse 15, for this we say to you by the word of the Lord that, number three, we who are alive and remain, excuse me, Paul, what? Paul, are you listening, everybody? 2,000 years ago, the apostle Paul said, we who are alive and remain at the coming of the Lord. What is he saying? Paul believed Jesus could come back in his day. And he's excited about it. Are you? You're 2,000 years closer. We'll remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who have died. Why? How come? What's that? Verse 16, for the Lord himself, not an angel, the Lord's coming, will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God. Don't confuse this with the trumpet of the angel in the book of Revelation. The trumpet of God, there's two of them. I'm giving you more information than what you need to have. One trumpet of God calls the nation of Israel together. The last trumpet of God, the second one, calls the church together. Don't confuse this trumpet of the Lord here with the trumpets of the book of Revelation. A lot of people do, and they get all goofy. Those trumpets are blown by angels. This is the trumpet of who? The Lord, the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. That is, their physical bodies will come out of the ground. Who? The Christians. My uncle got bit by a shark. He was a believer. What's going to happen to him? He's coming out of the ocean. He's going to come out. By the way, just because you can't see Uncle Fred because he got, you know, bit in Australia somewhere and there's pieces of him fragmented all over the oceans, just because you can't see that doesn't mean that his body parts haven't ceased to exist. They're dust. They're wet, but they're dust. God's going to speak, and I love this because God is the great, perfect biologist, engineer, designer. I mean, look around you. He's going to shout, the trumpet's going to go, and the those who died believing in Jesus, listen, their bodies have to come back together. The Bible says they'll be glorified in resurrection at the same moment that the Lord, when he comes for the church, I'll read it in a moment, he brings those who have died in Jesus. So look, if your Uncle Fred, or whatever his name was a moment ago, got eaten by a shark in Australia, his body's floating around somewhere, but the moment he died, the real him, the part that makes you move, this part, went to be with the Lord instantly. The Bible says to be absent from the bodies, to be present with the Lord. That fast. We may hold your funeral here, but you're not here. People come up, oh man, dude, I'm going to miss you. I understand the emotion, but he's not here. It's just a turtle shell, so to speak. The turtle's gone. It's just the shell. He's with the Lord.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called Parable of the Ten Virgins, Part 1. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Parables of Jesus. It's a series that highlights the teachings of Jesus while he was ministering here on this earth. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Pastor Jack, we have a letter from Hunter that I want to read to you.
Yeah.
He says, I was driving alone into Kansas to meet my dad to go deer hunting when my truck mysteriously disconnected from my phone's Bluetooth. I was unable to reconnect the phone because I was driving, so I just listened. You came over the radio in one of the Days of Deception messages, and it may be a coincidence, but I believe it was an act of God. Hunter goes on to say, divine intervention to lead me to the truth that is boldly proclaimed in your messages. I couldn't stop listening. I almost missed my hunt due to listening. Since then, I listen every chance I get. I've shared this with others, and I've grown immensely in faith in a very short time. I finally get the meat that the local church doesn't provide. We have our church family, but you are our pastor. And that letter comes from Hunter.
Well, this is an amazing thing. And you know what? I love this. You mention, Hunter, coincidence. You say that it's not, and you are correct. The word coincidence does not appear in the Hebrew language, which is the language that God speaks.
Yeah.
And I think it's incredibly important that regarding the days of deception message that, well, for whatever reason, this technology goes off one and then tunes into another program. Yep. You know what, Hunter? God wanted you to hear it. And welcome to the Real Life Network. We're happy to have you, brother.
Yeah.
That's incredible. So is it appropriate for me to wish you, Hunter, happy hunting? God bless you, brother.
Hey, you know, if you'd like to drop a note of encouragement to Pastor Jack, that'd be awesome. He'd really love to see what you have to say about him and how his ministry's affected your life. So please do that. Go to the Connect tab at jackhibbs.com. That's the tab labeled Connect at jackhibbs.com.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.